So during this Christmas season, we've been looking at various aspects of the Christmas story, from the prophets who predicted that Jesus would come, and now actually getting into the story of Jesus' birth itself. And we've been doing so under the heading of the Christmas quest, or the adventurer's guide to Christmas, and we've been comparing and contrasting along the way this notion of an adventure. An adventure being essentially something that we choose to do, something that is fun, it enhances our life, but it leaves us pretty much unchanged. It's a here and back again sort of experience. You go, you have your adventure, whoa, it's great. You come back to your normal life pretty much untouched or unchanged by that adventure, other than the fact that you had the adventure, maybe have a few stories to tell. It's like going on a great vacation. And you come back from that great vacation and you get back to your normal life and maybe you have a few pictures to show and a few stories to tell, but your life goes back to the way it was. A quest is different than that. A quest, first of all, we're saying is not essentially something that you choose to do, but actually something that chooses you. You may be acutely aware that you've been chosen, or maybe not so aware, but in any case, you sort of find yourself on this quest of some kind and you sort of have to do it. And a quest is not a here and back again sort of experience. It's just a there experience. You get on a quest and you either die on the quest, or if you go back to anything like what your life used to be, if you go back to where you were, you find that it's completely different because you're completely different. You can't go back to life as you knew it before, because everything's different because you're different. You are a new person. And that's sort of the difference between adventures and quests. And we've been comparing and contrasting those, looking at various aspects, different stories related to Christmas, using our Advent devotional booklets as a guide. We're using the scriptures that are for that day. Like today, we're using the scripture that's for the 23rd of December, which happens to be this story of how Christmas came about from a certain perspective. But today we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of looking at the difference between an adventure and a quest and looking at it through the lens of different aspects of the Christmas story, today we're actually going to, instead of analyzing, comparing, we're going to meet a man from the pages of our Bibles who actually chose the life-changing quest. Or perhaps better, who responded positively when the quest chose him. Instead of settling for an interesting adventure. And the man's name was Joseph of Nazareth. The life testimony of Joseph reminds us that there is always more going on around us than meets our eyes, that God's unrealities are more interesting and more real than the world's realities, and that only a fool would refuse his or her place in the Christmas quest to settle for another mere adventure. We're going to look at the four basic acts of this drama that we see at this moment in Joseph's life. Act one, life in the real world. A potentially adventurous man with a natural predicament and a reasonable and righteous plan. Act two, life under God. A supernaturally compelling messenger with an unreasonable and risky call to the quest. Act three, life at the crossroads, a mysterious and empowering force called faith. And Act 4, life with God, a good and great God whose unrealities we follow into his new and renewing reality. Are you ready? So here we go. Act 1, righteous Joseph's excellent adventure. This is about life in the real world. About a potentially adventurous man with a natural predicament and a reasonable and righteous plan. Joseph is a good man. There is a connection between God's heavenly plan and earthly realities. God chose Joseph, and somehow in the mix there, he chose Joseph because Joseph was a good man, a righteous man, the kind of man that God wanted to choose for his special purposes. Joseph has a good plan, a plan full of kindness, humility, mercy, grace, and love. You notice when it's telling the story, it says, because he was a righteous man. Being a just man is the way our translation said it. Joseph is about to proceed in a way that will allow him to go back to the life he knows, saying something like this: "Wow, that was an amazing and surprising adventure I had with Mary, whom I thought I knew, but didn't." Joseph is going to do the very best he can, according to everything he knows and has experienced of earthly reality. And everything he knows and all of his best intentions are not enough when compared to the magnificent and, from a reasonable earthly perspective, unreal work that God is doing. But despite his good and reasonable divorce plan, Joseph is about to have the opportunity to say yes to God and to be thrust into the Christmas quest, saying, "Wow, this is an amazing and surprising quest with the living God, whom I thought I knew, but didn't." Act 2, Christmas Unrealities. The divine messenger interrupts. Join the quest. This is about life under God. A supernaturally compelling messenger with a seemingly unreasonable and certainly risky call to the quest. There is more going on around us than meets our eyes. Joseph goes to sleep and the Lord God moves into action. He sends his messenger. He acts and speaks to alter Joseph's good plan and Joseph's predictable life. Joseph is informed of some important and original Christmas unrealities. Will Joseph be able to fit them into reality as he knows it? Will he have to reject them as disturbing fantasies? Will he be able to adjust his view of reality to account for what God has told him? Act 3. Joseph awakened. This is about life at the crossroads, a mysterious and empowering force called faith. When Joseph woke from sleep, the angel appeared to him and spoke to him in a dream while he was sleeping. Then Joseph woke from sleep as he had done thousands of times before, but not quite like before. Here is the moment of truth. When Joseph woke from sleep, option one, it was all just a dream. Whoa. Saying to his friends something like, "Oh, you would not believe what a wild dream I had last night. It was about Mary and about me and about God. Whoa, whatever it was I ate last night, I'm not eating that again for a while." Option two, it was a dream, but not one simply about God. It was from God. "God spoke to me. I know it. I believe it. And it seems crazy, quite unreal, but I know I've got to do what God has told me to do." Now, Joseph, we know, chose the second of these courses of action, and that's why we're talking about him here today, 2,000 years later. When Joseph woke from sleep, this phrase could also be used for a higher and broader awakening for Joseph than merely one from physical sleep. Joseph is awakened to the Christmas quest, which is God's quest to save fallen humanity, utterly and decidedly alienated from him. Joseph is awakened to a new and renewing partnership with God Almighty for his ultimate redemptive purposes, according to his good and righteous character and his ultimate and unreal powers. Act 4. The Christmas Quest. A purer perception-producing partnership. This is about life with God. A good and great God whose unrealities we follow into his new and renewing reality. The life testimony of Joseph reminds us that there is always more going on around us than meets our eyes. That God's unrealities are more interesting and more real than the world's realities. And that only a fool would refuse his or her place in the Christmas quest to settle for another mere adventure. So what does all this mean for us? Well, let me quote from Elder Tanya Ohlhauser, who wrote our devotional for today. We may not always understand why God calls us to do some of the things he does. We just need to listen and pray to make sure it is his will and not just our own. When we know, we just need to have faith and trust. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. We don't need to understand. We just need to be receptive and move in the direction the Lord leads us. Well, let me speak on behalf of all of us by saying this is much easier said than done. The risks are huge. There's the risk of life change, which calls for faith. If I follow what God is telling me, how will my life change? And if I don't follow, what will I be losing? Then there's the risk of error. It calls for wisdom. Is this truly God's direction? Was that really his voice? Am I really hearing from God, or is it simply my imagination? And how can I know the difference? Well, let me close with what I'm calling Joseph's quest guide to the unrealities of God. I think Joseph, by his example, gives us some insights that are helpful. One, God takes the initiative and with power. Joseph might say to us today, in fact, I think Joseph is saying to us today, hey, listen, God came to me. I was minding my own business as well as I could. I was going in a good direction when God intervened and altered my course. This wasn't an idea I could have come up with and then blithely attached God's name to. No, it was God who came to me, and he came to me in power. His power to reveal his plan to me and to direct my strange steps within his plan was greater than my doubts and insecurities. God's ability to help me get it was much greater than my inabilities to get it. I knew that I knew that I knew it was his angel speaking his truth to me. I can't prove that to you, but I know. For God didn't just come to me, he came to me in power. And his ability is always much greater than my inability. His certainty is always much greater than my uncertainties. Number two, God's action and revelation puts us under pressure in crisis. This was no easy decision or simple decision. It was not an easy situation. I had to choose, from my perspective at the time, between being an unfaithful, law-keeping coward or an unrighteous, God-denying fool. Either my community or my conscience was going to be unhappy. This was neither a revelation nor a life direction I would have wanted. Who would? Number three, when it is the unreality of God breaking into our less real worldly reality, we are forced, or is it blessed, to choose by faith between these realities. After my dream, I had a choice to make, and I knew I couldn't avoid making it. The truth is, there was no going back either way. If I wanted to think I was going to escape the reality of making this unreal decision by faith, I could do so only with heavy doses of denial. Number four, God always vindicates our choice, despite seeming unrealities, toward His quest. My Christmas unrealities turned out to be deeper realities I couldn't yet see, Joseph would tell us. But I could trust in God anyway, and that is what I did. And after I acted in trust, I saw so much more than before. Mary was the woman of upstanding character I had chosen to marry. And Mary was with child, miraculously, by God's hard to believe and impossible to understand action, for His good and holy purposes. And Mary and I were set apart to be the parents of this miracle boy who was just like us and entirely God. And through Him, our Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, Joshua, Mary and I and all God's people would be saved from their sins, as His name declares. How is Joseph going to encourage us today to wake up to Christmas unrealities that are actually part of a broader and higher reality that God is revealing to us? Listen, we aren't going to be asked to marry a pregnant virgin mother of God. That job has been fulfilled once and for all by our friend Joseph. But we are going to be called to something. Maybe to trust in God enough to do the impossible and let go of dark addictions to things every fiber of our physical being thinks we must have. Maybe to give more of ourselves than conventional wisdom tells us is wise to accomplish the good purposes of God that He wants to see done in His world. Maybe to love others until it starts to hurt, and then keep right on loving them with a costly and unreal love that we believe is part of God's ultimate and everlasting reality, embraced by Joseph and revealed fully and finally in His Son, Jesus. And as we respond in faith, like Joseph, I truly believe, I know in my heart, we will see more clearly. Look. Look. Those Christmas unrealities, they are part of God's ongoing redemptive reality breaking into our world and disarming all of its God-denying and heartbreaking and soul-sapping unrealities. And we who are hopelessly lost adventurers in a hopelessly lost world will see ourselves hope-filled and found and marching on with God on His fear-crushing quest toward the glory of full life and eternal love. So what do you say? The quest? The quest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You once again that You have taken the initiative even with us. Here we are sharing around a story that has come to us because You came to Joseph. And You came to Joseph in a special, in a miraculous way. You sent Your messenger to speak a word to him that he never could have thought up on his own. Too unreal, too crazy, too out of this world, and yet all of it true, true, true as you were working your real redemptive work in your real world for your real people. Lord, help us to know that we are your real people. Help us to respond to you in faith, to be part of your quest to bring your life and love and health and wholeness into your world, and to bring your people into yourself, where life and health and wholeness and love live forever. We pray these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.